Good morning.
Last time we talked, the topic was fishing, if you'll recall. How fishing can help us develop patience, and how our Lord wants us all to be fishers of men. This time, the subject matter involves deer hunting. This activity has its similarities to fishing, I suppose, but there are a lot of differences. Among the most notable differences is that little word adrenaline. Not whether you have an adrenaline rush or not, but rather when you have to deal with it. For instance, when fishing, you know, we usually don't see the fish bite. Unless it's right near the boat or the water is crystal clear, we don't normally get to see the interaction between the bait and the interested fish, or whether or not the fish is even going to bite. We don't see that drama unfolding that leads up to the fish taking the bait. But when it does, and you feel that hard tug, that's when the fun begins. After the hook is set, the adrenaline kicks in as you reel it in. So really, adrenaline doesn't become a problem when you're fishing. At least not compared to when you're deer hunting. It's completely different there. Because when a deer appears and you realize it's a shooter or a good deer, something happens to you on the inside. Adrenaline begins rushing through your body. Your heartbeat increases. Your breathing becomes short and irregular. And it becomes difficult to maintain a steady aim. In fact, sometimes it becomes difficult to even think straight. Or your arms might feel so heavy. Any experienced hunter knows at least a little bit about buck fever. And if you're bow hunting, well, then it's even worse. Because you have to let the deer get so much closer to you. When that deer is just a matter of a few feet away, you can count the points, maybe even hear him sniff the air for scent, and perhaps let out a sudden snort of disapproval when he senses that something's in the air that he doesn't like. When this happens really close to you, it's extremely hard to keep your cool. There are a lot of stories about hunters that have been victimized by buck fever. Like the guy who saw a deer and he aimed, and instead of pulling the trigger, he shouted, "Bang! Bang! Bang!" And what's funny is he cocked the gun every time. And then there's the guy who received two broken legs. After shooting a monster deer, he excitedly ran toward it, forgetting that he was 20 feet up in a tree. But there are tricks. There are tricks to controlling this buck fever. If in a tree or a deer stand, a good hunter will look at the terrain around him and try to envision every possible scenario. Where might a deer come from? Where might he go? What openings in the trees will give an opportunity for a shot? And he rehearses aiming into all those openings. You know, far shots, close shots, intermediate shots. So nothing takes him by surprise. If he's good at anticipating any scenario, then perhaps he'll be able to cope with his nerves when the opportunity presents itself. And then, when a big one shows up, it's all about dealing with that adrenaline, controlling your heartbeat, controlling your breathing, slowing things way down. If you can manage that rush of adrenaline, keep a clear head, and master the psychology of seeing such a big deer up close, you'll have a much better chance of keeping the gun or the bow steady. In some ways, our existence on this earth is similar to a big game hunter. Only our target is a potential convert to the truth, and our weapon is that word of truth. According to cultural geography books, the religion of Christianity is called a universalizing religion. In other words, it's a religion that actively seeks converts. Not all religions, interestingly enough, seek converts. Some religions are selective, restricting their membership to a chosen few or a chosen race. But the two largest religions in the world, Christianity and Islam, are universalizing religions. They do actively seek converts, sometimes using different methods. For the Christian, it's clear what our methodology should be. We are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's the great commission that we have been given to do. Sometimes we are faced with barriers to spreading the word, most of which come from within us. Are we more comfortable talking about what's going on in our secular life, and then we mysteriously clam up when an opportunity to speak about God presents itself? We've all been in those situations where something is said around us or something is happening around us which should cause a certain Christ-like reaction from us, but often we get nervous and we get the sweats and our heartbeat races and our tongue gets way too heavy for us to speak. In short, we get a spiritual buck fever. Have you completely gone silent when you should have spoken? Or perhaps you tried to say something, but it didn't go very well. You started to speak, you knew you should say something, but you sensed it wasn't being taken very well, and an adrenaline rush made your face turn red, and what you actually said was very different from what you intended to say. Perhaps this has happened to you. The devil wants us to fail in moments like these important moments. When something needs to be said, when the light of God's word needs to shine, Satan wants to cast a shadow there, and he wants us to freeze up. He wants us to get the shakes, to find excuses, to change the subject to something more comfortable. It's a good thing that while there's no pill you can take for buck fever out in the field, there is a remedy for our hesitancy to share the word. It's called the Holy Spirit. If we truly trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells inside us and seeks to help us live lives that are pleasing to Him, including saying the right thing at the right time. As Paul reminded the believers in Rome, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Jesus Christ has given us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we need not fear the power and the effects of sin. This includes saying what needs to be said with the help from the Lord. Sometimes, though, we worry too much about saying it just the right way, like we want to convert somebody on the spot. But don't be concerned about winning an argument or converting someone in 5 minutes. That probably won't happen anyway. Besides, we don't do the converting. As the old saying goes, just share the simple message. Then get out of the Holy Spirit's way. Experience can be a great teacher. God wants you to overcome all of your perceived weaknesses with experience. He will give you opportunities to share the truth with others. In other words, He'll give you openings to take your shot, so to speak, to share the message. So look for those messages. Give the gospel to someone. Say what needs to be said. You will know what to say. And you'll find that the more you say it, the easier it gets. In your entire lifetime, what could you possibly say that is more important? Let's sing about it with the words on the screen.